Chad deeply valued his privacy, and I wasn't privy to the details of his illness. After his family released their statement, I realized that he was living with his illness the entire time I knew him. Because he was a caretaker, a leader, a man of faith, dignity, and pride, he shielded his collaborators from his suffering. He lived a beautiful life, and he made great art. Welcome to Dear Culture, the podcast that gives you news you can trust for the culture. I'm your co-host, Jaren Keith Gaynor, Managing Editor at The Griot.
And I'm your co-host, Marielle Turner, Senior Editor at The Griot. And this week we are asking, Dear Culture, how has Chadwick Boseman's death affected you? Before we get into the show, Jaren, where were you when you found out that Chadwick had passed?
So, Marielle, I was actually sleeping. I had just woke up from a nap. I was preparing to pack to go out of town for my mother's wedding. And I'm reading through our work communications and I'm seeing the breaking news. And it didn't really hit me, you know? I was kind of reading it, but it hadn't really processed. And so it took me a long time to really process what had happened because I was in work mode. I was like, okay, let's transition. Let's get the news up. Let's come up with some other stories about how people are reacting to his death. And I just, even now, a few days after, it really hasn't processed. Just when you see someone so young pass away in any manner, it really touches home because, you know, I'm 31. So to imagine that my life could end in a matter of 10 years when we all plan to grow old and fulfill our life missions of maybe starting families or career aspirations. And in 43 years, I'm sure Chadwick Boseman couldn't have imagined this is the way his life would have went, but what a life he lived. Where were you when you found out and what went through your mind?
So I was actually in the middle of a Zoom that I was doing with some of my close girlfriends and we were watching a movie on our Zoom. So I was very much decompressing. And then as you mentioned, you know, being in news, our news communications lit up. And then I saw immediately that what was happening. So I signed off our Zoom and I signed on to, like, as you kind of said earlier, go into work mode, which is what happens when you work in media. It doesn't really give you a lot of time to process what you're reporting until after the fact. So I think for me, it was just so shocking because he was so young and we really had no idea at all that he was even sick. And it's just been so many shocking deaths this year. So I think once I took some time to really think about it, I just felt this overwhelming sense of sadness that his journey would end so early when it felt like he had so much more to give, not only the Black community, but the film community in general.
And what kind of responses have you seen online from everyone in reaction to his death?
It seems to be just an outpouring of support and grief and people being truly heartbroken over the death. And I think a lot of that is combined with, as I mentioned earlier, some of the other things that have happened this year, the loss of Kobe and Black Lives Matter, police brutality. It's just a lot going on in our community. So I think the overwhelming response I've seen has been sadness and grief, but also appreciation for his work and for giving especially young Black children a hero that they can see themselves in. So it's kind of been a mixture. What about you?
Yeah, I think you're so right. There's so many things that have happened already in 2020. And Chadwick's death, it just, people kept saying over and over again that it hit differently. You know, we started the year losing Kobe Bryant in the most tragic way. We've seen the tragic deaths of so many other Black celebrities. And we've seen non-celebrity Black men and women being murdered by police, being harassed by racist white people in this country. And so 2020 is just probably the worst year ever to a lot of Black people, because on top of the loss of our heroes, on top of racism, we also have to fight a virus that was killing Black people disproportionately throughout the country. And so it's really overwhelming. We talked so much on this podcast in particular about mental health. And I think that when we continuously see such tragic stories, it can really impact your mental health. And it hits you differently when you're Black in America, because you feel like everywhere you turn, you're losing your family members. You know, even if they're not our literal family members, we are a family, we're a community. And the loss of Chadwick Boseman, it felt like we just lost a true pillar who was just on the cusp of more great things. But as they say, God has the final say, and he is, or she is, the master planner of our lives. And we never know when the curtain closes, if you will, And I really hope that these tragic moments, it brings us together. I think that if anything, even though 2020 is rough and this snatching our wigs, it's really just been a crazy year. But I hope that if there's anything that comes from this, that it brings us closer together. It helps us appreciate each other so much more, appreciate our artists and what they give us and how they sacrifice for us. And our leaders and our community members. That's the best way I can look at this tragedy and all the other tragedies this year, is to make light of it.
Yeah, you know, that is the hope, that we can find some sense of community and some sense of love from all of this tragedy that we have experienced this year, because 2020 has been such an emotional year, especially if you are Black in America. And I would like to highlight some of the Black Hollywood responses to the death of Chadwick, because these are people who knew him personally and worked with him.
One of the most touching statements that I've seen online was from Ryan Coogler, who was the director of Black Panther. Ryan wrote, quote, "Chad deeply valued his privacy, and I wasn't privy to the details of his illness. After his family released their statement, I realized that he was living with his illness the entire time I knew him. Because he was a caretaker, a leader, a man of faith, dignity, and pride, he shielded his collaborators from his suffering. He lived a beautiful life, and he made great art, day after day, year after year. That was who he was. He was an epic firework display. I will tell stories about being there for some of the brilliant sparks till the end of my days. What an incredible mark he's left for us. I haven't grieved a loss this acute before. In African cultures, we often refer to loved ones that have passed on as ancestors, but it is with a heavy heart and a sense of deep gratitude to have ever been in his presence that I have to reckon with the fact that Chad is an ancestor now. I know that he will watch over us until we meet again."
Yeah, we had such powerful words coming from Ryan, and we had another famed director comment on it as well, Ava DuVernay, and she said, quote, "Black Hollywood is small, like a small village. When you think about it, there's really only a handful of us working actors, writers, HODs, crew, directors in a massive industry. One absence devastates. Chad loomed large among us. We will miss him, never forget him, love him always."
Insecure star and creator Issa Rae wrote, quote, "Fell asleep crying, woke up crying. I don't know why this one hurts so badly. Maybe it's because we lost a literal Black superhero. Maybe it's because your grace, class, kindness, and dignity is so rare. Maybe it's because you had to suffer in silence for so long, while some speculated cruelly. Maybe it's because we didn't need to see another Black man's life cut short. Maybe it's because your Denzel anointed legacy had so much more to offer. Maybe it's because you felt like ours with every role you chose to embody. Maybe it's because God wanted your light a bit closer. You will be missed. Thank you for everything."
We also heard from Angela Bassett, who played Chadwick's mother in Black Panther. This is what she had to say. "It was meant to be for Chadwick and me to be connected, for us to be family. But what many don't know is our story began long before his historic turn on Black Panther. During the premiere party for Black Panther, Chadwick reminded me of something. He whispered that when I received my honorary degree from Howard University, his alma mater, he was the student assigned to escort me that day. And here we are, years later, as friends and colleagues, enjoying the most glorious night ever. We'd spent weeks prepping, working, sitting next to each other every morning in makeup chairs, preparing for the day together as mother and son. I am honored that we enjoyed that full circle experience. This young man's dedication was awe-inspiring, his smile contagious, his talent unreal. So I pay tribute to a beautiful spirit, a consummate artist, a soulful brother. Thou art not dead, but flown afar. All you possess, Chadwick, you freely give. Rest now, sweet prince. Hashtag Wakanda forever."
Chadwick's co-star in Black Panther, Michael B. Jordan, wrote, quote, "I've been trying to find the words, but nothing comes close to how I feel. I've been reflecting every moment, every conversation, every laugh, every disagreement, every hug, everything. Everything you've given the world, the legends and heroes that you've shown us we are, will live on forever. But the thing that hurts the most is that I now understand how much of a legend and hero you are. Through it all, you never lost sight of what you loved most. You cared about your family, your friends, your craft, your spirit. You cared about the kids, the community, your culture, and humanity. You cared about me. You are my big brother, but I never fully got a chance to tell you or to truly give you your flowers while you were here. I wish we had more time. I'm more aware now, more than ever, that time is short with people we love and admire. I'm going to miss your honesty, your generosity, your sense of humor, and incredible gifts. I'll miss the gift of sharing space with you in scenes. I'm dedicating the rest of my days to live the way you did, with grace, courage, and no regrets. Is this your king? Yes, he is. Rest in power, brother. Many are stunned that no one outside of Bozeman's family knew of his illness and were able to keep it a secret for 4 years. Others have pointed out the cruel way people on social media mocked his appearance back in April when he recorded a video in honor of Jackie Robinson Day, not realizing the actor was sick and fighting for his life. This has created a much larger discussion about showing each other more compassion because we never know what someone is going through behind closed doors. Mario, we just did an episode about the dark side of social media. Do you think what happened with Chadwick will make people think twice before casting judgments online?
I would hope so, but the cynic in me is thinking that it probably won't have the long-term effects that I would like to see in terms of how we treat one another, especially on social media. Because it's just so true that people only get a tiny bit of your life based off of social media, or in Chadwick's case, you know, red carpet interviews. And there's such a larger story there that I think a lot of people don't know. And instead of giving people that grace to share when they want to share, or maybe never share, and just kind of keep your opinions to yourself about their life, or in Chadwick's case, how he looked, we're in this climate and community where people feel like they can share their opinions, even if they are dark or even if they don't have the full story. So I would hope that Chadwick's passing kind of motivates people to just be a little bit nicer. Or as the saying goes, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Like, you do not need to share your opinion for every little thing. And in the case of Chadwick, they really should have just let that man live his life and enjoy his last few months without bombarding him with comments about why he's so thin and what's going on and accusing him of smoking crack. I mean, it's insane when you think about it. And I really think the insensitivity needs to end.
Absolutely. I remember when that video came out in April. And I think that, like I said, during our episode, when we talked about the dark side of social media, oftentimes people feel like they have the liberty to just say what they want, whenever they want, however they want. And I didn't see a lot of messages at that time that said, is he okay? You know, I think that sometimes simply asking, is someone okay? Or I'm praying for them, or I hope they're okay. Sometimes that's all the reaction that you need. But as you said, the golden rule, just don't say anything if you have nothing nice to say at all. But at the same time, I was thinking, you know, imagine going through what he had to endure and knowing that his days were likely numbered and choosing to expose himself by making this video, putting it online, and to see that kind of feedback. So to know that one of his final public moments was met with ridicule and jokes and just cruel things, it's heartbreaking. And I do hope that it resonates with people, that people are a bit more mindful when they decide to cast opinions online. But as you said, I don't think that it will resonate the way that we would like them to. I think that people are just caught up in their own stuff, and people can be a bit selfish and self-absorbed and not think how their words impact others. But I also think about his family, you know, the fact that he had to keep this secret, and his family kept this secret for 4 years. He even recently got married and no one knew. And I think that it's just, in some ways, it's sad to have gone through that kind of alone, but at the same time, it's also very beautiful because he was able to be in control of his final days on this earth. He was able to shape his own narrative, and he chose to go through this in private. And I think that it made the loss and, but really the celebration of his life and legacy that much more impactful, the fact that he was in control to the very end.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I think the fact that he, like you mentioned, took control of his narrative and he decided what he was comfortable sharing and how he wanted his last few years to be. And I think that's an important lesson that we can apply to everyone, whether you're a celebrity or not. And one thing that crosses my mind is, you know, the privacy of illness. And people are not entitled to know what's going on with your health. That's personal information that you can choose to share if and when you want to with the people that you want to. And I think you can also apply this for other aspects that people choose to keep more private, not sharing their relationships or not sharing their children on Instagram. I have friends that won't show their children's faces for their particular reasons that they have. And I think it's important for all of us to respect people's privacy and let them decide where they're comfortable. And I love that Chadwick, he did take control of what was happening around him to the best of his ability. And he let the film speak for himself. And now that he's gone, we can appreciate those films, especially knowing what he was going through. And you know, one thing that I also think is really powerful about Chadwick's journey is that he chose to work with and visit cancer patients, young children who were battling cancer while he was fighting his own battle. Let's take a quick listen to his emotional response to the children.
All of it's been very personal, just watching the kids experience it. And for me, I would say, you know, there are two little kids, Ian and Taylor, who recently passed from cancer. And throughout our filming, I was communicating with them, knowing that they were both terminal. And what they said to me is, and their parents said, they're trying to hold on till this movie comes. And I, to a certain degree, you hear them say that and you're like, whew, like, wow, that's like, I got to get up and go to the gym. I got to get up and go to work. You know, I got to learn these lines. I got to work on this accent. You know, seeing how devoted all of my castmates are and knowing that will be something meaningful to them. But it's, to a certain degree, it's a humbling experience because you're like, this can't mean that much to them, you know. But seeing how the world has taken this on, seeing how the movement is, how it's taken on a life of its own, I realized that they anticipated something great. And I think back now to a kid and just, you know, waiting for Christmas to come, waiting for my birthday to come, waiting for a toy that I was going to get a chance to experience, or a video game. I did live life waiting for those moments. And so it put me back in the mind of being a kid, just to experience those two little boys' anticipation of this movie. And when I found out that they,
take your time with it.
Yeah, it means a lot.
Mario, I've listened to that clip multiple times and it hits me every single time. It just breaks my heart. And to know that he was facing mortality, and even in those moments, he chose to think about how he can make life better for these young boys who are also fighting cancer. And little did we know at that time that he was battling his own fight with cancer. And it just reflects how much of an upstanding person that Chadwick Boseman was. Because a lot of people, when they're faced with their imminent demise, it's very easy to think about yourself and kind of shut life off and cut work off. And he chose to still live a life of service to these young people who are battling cancer. He chose to ensure that he used his life for purpose, and he chose life, even in the final moments, over death, over fear. And I can't think of anything more commendable. I really don't have the words to express how impactful that clip was. And just when you just reading and hearing all the things that Chadwick said and did in his final years, is truly touching.
Yeah, whenever I hear that clip, it takes a lot of willpower not to tear up or not to cry, because it's just so sad, not only for Chadwick, but also for those boys as well who weren't able to see the film, and how deeply that affected him to the point where he was crying about it. And of course, now we know there's probably a lot of layers under that with his own diagnosis. And I think it's just, how selfless of a person are you when you are facing death? you're going to chemotherapy every week. You're getting multiple surgeries. For anyone that has anyone in their family who's had cancer, you know how much of a draining experience that can be. And so to see him still have the energy and the drive to help others while he was going through all of that over multiple years says so much about the person he is and his character. And I think why there's been this mass outpouring, because a person like that is rare. They don't come along too often. So yeah, that clip is just, it's really hard to listen to just because it is so heartbreaking. And you know, one of the things that has come up, at least since his death over the past week or so, is some people are beginning to speak about his iconic role of Black Panther, which represented so much for the Black community. And people are starting to speculate, do you recast? Can you ever really replace him in that role? Or is that something that is particular to Chadwick and should not be explored any further? So what are your thoughts on that?
Now, that's a really good question, Marielle, because I think that there's no easy answer in this. I think that on a personal level, and if you're a fan of Black Panther, if you're a fan of Chadwick Boseman, and really just someone looking at this tragedy, your first instinct is to say, absolutely not. You can't move forward with this franchise without the face. He cemented himself as Black Panther. And I think about these young kids who I've seen these very heartbreaking images of these kids crying. There was one picture of a young boy in a Black Panther costume with using the Wakanda Forever sign over his chest, and he's crying. And I think about those kids who all they know is Chadwick Boseman's face as Black Panther. And to cast someone else as Black Panther, it likely would not resonate the same way for these young boys. They would probably see that as, you know, an affront to the Black Panther that they know and love. But we also know that this is Hollywood and that there are business decisions that will likely be made. And this is not the first time we've seen this happen in the super world film, this like Marvel comic book world. Remember Heath Ledger, he starred as Joker, and many people praise him for his brilliant performance. And there hasn't quite been a Joker quite like Heath Ledger. And so there likely will be another Black Panther at some point. I think that it will never be the same. I was just watching Black Panther over the weekend, and I just can't imagine watching a sequel with another actor as Black Panther. So it's complicated. It's not easy, because I think that we all would like to see a Black Panther 2. And we know that over the years, over the decades, a lot of these superheroes are always recasted at some point. Whether they grow old and they go with a younger actor or someone passes away, the story goes on. And I think the best way to honor Chadwick Boseman is to maybe not touch it, or at least not touch it for some time. I think that, but then again, it's business. I think that it's already been set in motion and they likely will have to move forward. And I think that it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I do agree. It's going to be a very tough decision, because when you think of Black Panther, you think of Chadwick, but it is a business. And it also, Black Panther represents so much for our community. So I know that the community would like to see another Black Panther. And I'm not a comic book fan, but I have seen some comic book fans on Twitter and Instagram saying that in the comics, eventually Black Panther is handed down from T'Challa to Shuri, which is his little sister. So I'm thinking that might be something they could maybe do in future films to kind of pass the torch. That way they don't necessarily have to recast Chadwick himself. They can kind of refocus on Shuri, who people also loved and who represents strong Black woman in the film. And so I think that might be a way to both honor him and kind of move the story forward, but it'll definitely be interesting to see. And speaking of Boseman's legacy, what do we think Boseman's legacy will be when it's all said and done?
I think Chadwick's legacy will be a person who dedicated his life to not only his craft, but he dedicated his life to empowerment for the Black community. He started out, his major roles were all historical prominent Black men in throughout time, from Jackie Robinson to Thurgood Marshall. And he also kind of made history as Black Panther. A lot of actors, they start their careers kind of taking any role that they possibly can get. And you can tell that Chadwick was very intentional about the kind of roles he wanted to portray. And he didn't want to touch a role that was stereotypical. And he played roles of Black men who were upstanding. And he also, through Black Panther, was a figure who was really, I see this figure of someone who lived in a world absent of racism. And it was kind of like this Black futurism way of looking at Blackness. And it was inspiring. I think that we were all touched by watching Black Panther, this fictional world of Wakanda where Black people are king and queens and they have their own resources and the world relies on them and they're the ones who save the world. And I think that much in the same way we look at the world now, you know, I think that Black people have so much to offer, have so much talent. And for centuries, we've proven that we are the ones to save this world. We are the ones to save this country from ourselves. And if there's anything I can say about his legacy is that he did it with honor. He did it with grace. When you watch any interview from Chadwick, he was filled with so much joy and he had such a light in him. You know, he had this joy for life. And I think that that's so inspiring because I think that sometimes we, when we live our day to day, we can get kind of down. You know, we may be overwhelmed with what the day has to offer. We worry about the future. And now knowing what he endured for 4 years, he knew that he likely would not be on this earth much longer. And yet he went to every basketball game. He did every interview. He played the roles. He was dedicated to life. And more importantly, he thought about how he could impact others, how he made other people feel. There was just certain light that like illuminated from him that really, I think, inspires me to humble myself and trying to not only live the best life that I can possibly live, but live a life that leaves people feeling loved and heard and seen and respected. And I think that we all want to feel like when we leave this earth, we meant something to someone. And I think that it's very clear that Chadwick meant a lot to a lot of people for many different reasons. And I think that's going to be his legacy.
Yeah, you know, I think that Chadwick is a testament to, it's not how much time you have, but what do you do with it? Considering that he was only here for 43 years, think of the enormous impact that he's had on millions of people across the globe. And I think it, for me, it really inspires me to not only do what you love and find purpose, but utilize every day. Like, tomorrow is not promised. And I know we say this a lot when this happens, but I think for me, I'm really going to try to use this as a daily reminder to just enjoy the small moments. When you wake up, what are 3 things that you're grateful for today? And I saw on Twitter a text message that Chadwick sent, and he was talking about how there was a storm in LA, but he could still find the beauty in the storm and how that was going to refresh the air and they could get out and enjoy pollution-free air in LA, which is a rarity. And just finding the beauty even in things that might put you down, like a thunderstorm. And so when I think of his legacy, that's kind of what I think of, is finding the beauty in the not so great circumstances and choosing to pursue happiness every day, no matter what's going on, and persevere. And that's kind of what I think of when I think of Chadwick. And when we speak about legacy and I think of Chadwick, I think of him having a full circle moment where he was a student at Howard University and then giving the commencement speech for the graduating class of 2018 at that very institution that he attended. It was really an amazing experience for me to watch that in a shared video on YouTube, and I'm not even an alumni of Howard. I want our listeners to have a piece of that experience and the wisdom he offered. Let's have a listen.
Sometimes you need to feel the pain and sting of defeat to activate the real passion and purpose that God predestined inside of you. God says in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Graduating class, hear me well on this day. When you have reached the hilltop and you are deciding on next jobs, next steps, careers, further education, you would rather find purpose than a job or career. Purpose crosses disciplines. Purpose is an essential element of you. It is the reason you are on the planet at this particular time in history. Your very existence is wrapped up in the things you are here to fulfill. Whatever you choose for a career path, remember the struggles along the way are only meant to shape you for your purpose. When I dare to challenge the system that would relegate us to victims and stereotypes with no clear historical backgrounds, no hopes or talents, when I questioned that method of portrayal, a different path opened up for me. The path to my destiny. When God has something for you, it doesn't matter who stands against it. God will move someone that's holding you back away from a door and put someone there who will open it for you. If it's meant for you, I don't know what your future is, but if you are willing to take the harder way, the more complicated one, the one with more failures at first than successes, the one that has ultimately proven to have more meaning, more victory, more glory, then you will not regret it. Now, this is your time. The light of new realization shines on you today. Howard's legacy is not wrapped up in the money that you will make, but the challenges that you choose to confront. As you commit to your past, press on with pride and press on with purpose. God bless you. I love you, Howard. Howard forever.
I'm so inspired by Chadwick's words, and to know how committed to purpose he was, it really shows in his work and the way that he lived his life. Since his diagnosis in 2016, here is a list of the projects Chadwick was able to complete. In 2016, Gods of Egypt, Captain America Civil War, Message from the King. In 2017, Marshall. In 2018, Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War. In 2019, Avengers Endgame. And 21 Bridges, and in 2020, The Five Bloods and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. I can't help but to think that he sprinted to complete so many of these works because he understood just how important they would be to our community for years and years to come. And speaking of impact, we would like to share some personal words from our entertainment director, Courtney Wills, who gave Chadwick one of his first interviews before becoming a huge star. Check it out.
I first met Chadwick Boseman in 2013, and it was before 42 came out, which obviously was his first film that he had a starring role in, and he played the iconic Jackie Robinson. And at the time, it was one of his first features. It was for Jet Magazine, and we met up at this museum near USC in Los Angeles, and it was some kind of like sports museum, and we were sitting in a room and it was just us, and I just remember that his energy was just so mellow and chill and welcoming. And even then, I mean, he wasn't nearly the star that he grew to be, but there was something about his presence that day that just kind of stuck with me. And it was one of those times where I knew I was watching someone at the beginning of an amazing career. And of course, that's exactly what he went on to achieve. It's funny because I was going back through the transcript from that interview, and so much of it didn't actually make the feature. And one of the things that I asked him was what was difficult about portraying such a legend. And of course, we know now that he went on to portray so many other legends, and now he's a legend in his own right. But at the time, he said that there was so much pressure, it was daunting. And especially because he thought that Jackie Robinson was a hero to so many people, and that carried a lot of weight. And he was also like very aware of the fact that a lot of kids would learn who Jackie Robinson was based on his performance. And he said that he didn't want to let Jackie's grandkids down, his children down. And it was just interesting for him to be that aware of the impact, even when it was his first project. And now, knowing what an impact he had, and you know, he would go on to have, it's just so hard to believe that he's gone. But Chadwick was certainly special, and he was such a talented actor, and he didn't even intend on being an actor. He said it kind of happened by chance after he moved to LA in 2008. But when he was a kid, he was really into drawing. And he said, one of the things he said in the interview was that, you know, if I sit here long enough and just stare at you, I can go home and draw you tonight and it would be 100% accurate. And so now I find myself like wondering if we'll ever get to see maybe some sketchbooks or drawings that Chadwick, you know, did as a kid or did in his off time, because that's a talent that a lot of people didn't necessarily know that he had. He was also really into music. He talked to me about loving hip hop. He said that he liked things that are ratchet every now and again, but he really just had a really eclectic kind of style when it came to music. But when it comes to television, at the time he said he didn't watch any TV, like nothing. He just really, really only focused on sports, like watching basketball or catching the scores, but he's never really been a TV fan. And the other thing that I thought was cool was, again, this was at the very beginning of his career, but when I asked him who he would like to model his career after or who he wishes he could meet or work with, one of the first people that he said was Denzel Washington. And he said he loved Jeffrey Wright and he loved Don Cheadle. And that's interesting because, of course, we know that he went on to star in the Marvel films alongside Don Cheadle. So there are times where in this business you catch people on their way up, and Chadwick was just one of those people that I got so much joy out of watching him win and watching his career grow and watching him, you know, grow into it. And that kind of impact is not one that comes around very often. And his energy and his spirit, you know, that he had, that was so tangible and perceptible, you know, back in 2013, it was the same energy that he brought onto these press tours when he was at the height of his fame, you know, playing Black Panther in the biggest movie in the world. That energy and that kindness and that kind of genuine kind of caring and introspection and realization that he was doing something important, that really never left him. And I think that something that I'll always remember and cherish, that I got to see him work through the entirety of his career, even though it was far too short.
Wow, the impact that he had on a world of people that didn't know him is already so immense. Courtney's words speak to who he was from a personal perspective. Honestly, I'm just so blown away.
We want to close out by echoing something Chadwick said, quote, "You have to cherish things in a different way when you know the clock is ticking." To anyone listening to this episode, please remember, if you aren't doing what you love, you should be. Time isn't promised. We are often waiting for our big break, our next big moment. But sometimes we don't realize that our biggest gift is being alive and living to see another day.
Thank you for listening to Dear Culture. If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star review and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast, and share it with everyone you know.
Please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments to podcast@thegrio.com. The Dear Culture podcast is brought to you by The Grio and executive produced by Blue Talusma.